I'll always love you.
Everyone to Xenonubers Podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass, and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode 131. This podcast show is for all the Xenonubers subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So, hello everyone, welcome back to XNU. I hope everyone is doing well. Me, myself, and I am alive and doing okay. We'll talk more later about that. The song snippet you hear on this week's episode is Lana Taste. So it's the Clark and Lana series from Superman, and it's called Taste. So I thought it was perfect for this because I think I'm going to have to throw in a disclaimer on this one at this point. Because reviewing this story, I was like, ooh, this is not going to be for driving. So at this point, we introduce the disclaimer. Adult disclaimer, warning, this section of XNU you are about to listen to contains content of women engaging in acts that will cause you to wreck your car, run up a tree, break out into a sweat, laugh, giggle, and cry because you're not getting any. You are here now, forewarned. Okay, the book recommendation this week is Midnight Hunt by Radcliffe, writing as L.L. Rand. That's The Midnight Hunt by Radcliffe. And the description goes something like this. What do you do when you wake up to a whole new life with dangerous urges you can't control? Medic Drake McKinnon has never been good at following protocol, so she doesn't even think twice about rendering emergency care when a teenager's life is at stake. Even if the young girl's is in the throes of wear fever, and any sane human should know better. It isn't the bright, shining pain of the bite or even the wrenching agonies of the fever that convinces Drake everything in her life has changed. It's the way she feels about the blonde with the wolf gold eyes, who awakens a dark hunger she can't control, and doesn't want to. Sylvan, the alpha of the Adirondack Timberwolf pack, is the one female Drake can't have, and the only one she craves. So that's A Midnight Hunter's novel by Radcliffe, writing as L.L. Rand. I'll have a link on my show notes for you, and you can actually read chapter one, an excerpt of it, over at Boldstroke Books, which I'll have a link for, and it seems very interesting. It's going to be another one of the books that I am putting on my Amazon wish list if I don't get it before I fly out. In the video recommendation this week, we've got Make a Wish, Be Careful What You Wish For. And over at Wolf Video, we've got the description that goes, says, who's next? Erotic tension prevails when five very attractive lesbians, and one bisexual, go on their annual camping trip. Buff leading actress Moynihan King stars as Susan, the birthday girl, who invites all her ex-girlfriends to join her for a weekend in the wild. But one by one, someone is bumping them off, in class or slasher fashion. The women include boyishly beautiful Monica and her girlfriend Andrea, knock-up blonde bisexual Linda, Wiccan woman Dawn, and militant vegetarian Chloe. So check it on out over at Wolf Video. I'll have a link on my show notes.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
All right, going on over for the news. Over at Renee O'Connor's fan club, her website, you've got the latest news. She's got a new videos newsletter, a bedside table book on dream interpretations and symbols, Five Ways, a short film with Renee and Andy and How to Be Friends with an Olympian, Rock Cellar, never seen before videos of Infinity, is a short film she helped produce this past July with Randy Crowder, Talking With Tara Samuels Part 2, Tara completes her interview, Rock That Spot, Want to Know Where to Find the Best Yellow Curry in South Bay of Los Angeles, and then Renee's monthly blogs, and she talks about her own inner path to staying with authentic. So check it on out over at ReneeO'Connor.net.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Okay, and here is where we give you the latest and greatest update. I literally just finished strapping up in tape. The physio strapper came over and strapped my feet up and my legs so that I can run better. I've got less than 30 days now before we fly out, and we have less than that to actually run the actual marathon. I once again want to give everybody the opportunity to say thank you to those of you who have kindly donated to the cancer raising fund that I'm trying to do. I greatly appreciate for all those who have put in to raise money for Lance Armstrong's Cancer Research Foundation. For those of you who have yet to donate, I would take this time out to ask you, please, take a moment. $5 is all I'm asking from everybody. If you could just take $5 and put it in, it's $5 towards cancer research. It would be greatly appreciated. And it's 31 days and 11 hours till, well, according to the time now, till the countdown. And we're looking forward to it. Yeah, very anxious and very nervous, but we're going to get there. So keep your fingers crossed and stay tuned, and then you won't have to listen to this anymore.
Well, if that is the worst thing that happens today, I'll be thrilled.
Come and get me.
We continue on with Ab Initio, Part 6, by Cruz. The Psalter response sent Lark's passion soaring and was ready for a romp through ecstasy with her dark, passionate lover. Her mouth craved for Rain's tongue capturing it and satisfy her cravings. Rain's hands pressed against Lark's upper back, deepening the burning kiss, both breathing heavily. They broke the kiss breathless and resumed the searing kiss, their desire for one another escalating. Rain's hands traveled down Lark's back, resting on her backside, and guided her pelvis into a rocking motion, desperate to feel Lark's sex grind against her own.
"Oh, baby, you absolutely drive me crazy,"
Lark moaned, breathless, her heart beating wildly in her chest, and sank her teeth into Rain's neck, and then sucked the soft skin, alternating bites and kisses.
"Lark, oh, I freaking love that. Keep it up, baby. Please don't stop."
Rain moaned, her voice conveying her delight. Rain held the back of Lark's neck, gently guiding her along her neck where she wanted the next bite to land. Rain's head moved back in reaction each time to Lark's teeth sinking into her heated skin, and from the feel of Lark's soft, moist lips against her neck.
"Touch me, baby. I need to feel you inside me,"
Rain replied, her voice throaty with desire for a blonde lover's touch. Lark's tongue traveled down between Rain's breasts, then moved her mouth to the hard, dark nipple before capturing it in her mouth. Rain's deep breathing intensified, as did her own already racing heart, and her center ached for Lark's touch. She placed her hand over Lark's hand, slowly guiding it down her long, muscular body, stopping between her legs, spreading them wide for Lark. Lark moved to the side, straddling Rain's thigh, and began stroking her wet, hot, swollen nub that begged for her attention.
"Yes, baby, that feels so good,"
Rain breathlessly replied, moving her hips up and down, matching Lark's motions with her hand. Rain slid her hand under Lark, who moved her mouth to lavish Rain's other breast with attention, and gasped when she felt Rain's fingers glide across slick clit.
Oh, baby,
she moaned softly, gently sucking the nipple in her mouth. The sound of Lark's soft, sensuous voice sent a shiver down Rain's body, stopping where the throbbing persisted.
"Lark, go inside, honey,"
Rain whispered, grasping when she felt Lark enter her wet opening.
"Oh, yes, it feels so good,"
she moaned loudly, her words an aphrodisiac to Lark, whose throbbing between her own legs intensified and moved her hips faster against Rain's hand. Rain slipped two long, slender fingers inside Lark, reacting to her lover's desire, feeling her slick walls close tightly around her fingers.
"Lark, I love how you feel when you wrap so tightly around my fingers, and how dripping wet you always are for me,"
Rain answered in a low, sensuous voice, feeling Lark's lips press against her own. Lark thrust her tongue deeply in Rain's mouth, exploring everything about it rhythmically, thrusting her hips against her passionate lover, her body demanding release. Lark broke the kiss, gasping for air, tilting her head back with her eyes closed and panting desperately for air. Rain nibbled on the soft skin of Lark's neck, rocking her hips up and down faster, her arousal mounting. She felt Lark's walls tighten, then release around her fingers, and she knew she was ready to climax. Rain moved her fingers in and out of Lark faster, matching her thrusting movements with her hips, and felt her pause, then pull away, and push Rain's fingers deep inside of her.
Oh, yes! Rain! Please don't stop!
Lark shouted, breathing heavily. Rain's fingers moved faster, and Lark's hips bucked back and forth, her fingers thrusting in and out of Rain at the same time.
Come with me, baby,
Rain whispered seductively, capturing Lark's lips with her own, sending them both over the edge, greeting pure ecstasy at the same time.
Yes, oh, Rain, baby, I love you so much,
Lark moaned loudly, her body shuddering against Rain's, which did the same from one powerful orgasm after the next, rolling over both of their bodies simultaneously. Rain grabbed Lark behind her neck and pulled her down, thrusting her tongue deeply into her mouth, kissing her passionately, feeling her body's release begin to calm. She wrapped her arms tightly around Lark, breaking the kiss and feeling the hot breath of her lover against her neck where she rested.
Lark, the things you do to me, baby, are so incredible.
Rain whispered in her ear, lightly kissing her cheek, reveling in the wonderful feeling that consumed her having her lovely soulmate in her arms. They both lay pressed against one another, content to revel in their ecstasy in complete silence, which only their heavy breathing broke. Neither relinquished their hold on one another, or even wanted to, once their breathing leveled off to a soft whisper, and their hearts beat as one. Lark sat up and locked greens with blues, smiling contentedly and placing a sweet and very satisfying kiss on Rain's lips. Rain smiled happily, running her fingers through the love of her life's short hair.
What are you thinking about, Rain Donovan?
Lark asked, smiling mischievously. Rain's hand stopped stroking Lark's hair and rested on Lark's bare, sweaty back, smiling at the lovely sight before her.
I was just thinking about how enamored I am with you, and about how much I love you.
Rain answered lovingly and kissed Lark. Lark gazed at her sexy partner, silently, momentarily at a loss for words. Rain simply blew her away, and was making a habit of doing it in the past few days with her honesty, sincerity, and her proclamations of eternal love.
Rain, you simply overwhelm me,
Lark mustered and sighed happily.
I hope you know, really know, how much I love you. Every time I think I can't love you anymore, you do something that negates that thought. I have so much love in my heart for you that it's just overwhelming.
Lark answered, totally blown away. Rain smiled adoringly. It wasn't sure how to respond instead of opting for a soul-searing kiss.
You do the same to me, baby.
She whispered through her kiss and deepened it, holding her small lover tighter in her arms, reveling in the warmth she exuded. They were both lost to their thoughts of one another to realize the phone had been ringing. They broke the kiss, smiling, and began to kiss again when Rain's cell phone went off.
What the hell?
Rain exclaimed at her sheer frustration from the intrusion, breaking the kiss and reaching for her phone. She clicked the phone on before putting it to her ear, with Lark assaulting her neck with soft kisses.
Yeah?
She answered agitatedly from the intrusion.
What?
She exclaimed, her voice changing in reflection from frustration to fear, her heart sinking from what she heard on the other end. Lark's head shot up, looking at Rain when she heard the fear of distress in Rain's voice, which was confirmed when she saw the same in her blue eyes.
Okay, we'll meet you right away.
She answered softly, and stunned, sitting up with Lark, moving off of her, and filled with concern. Rain clicked the phone off and looked at Lark with an anguished look on her face.
Lark, we have to leave. It's not good news.
She answered with a horrified look on her face that scared the hell out of Lark. Continued in part 7.
Holly's gone into labor. We have to leave.
Rain answered with a concerned sigh and looked at Lark. Lark could see the anxiety in Rain's blue eyes, and knew there was more to it by the tone in her voice and what she saw in her eyes.
Is she okay?
Lark asked with concern, rubbing Rain's arm for comfort.
No, it's not good. She's having complications, and I don't know any more than that. Mom sounded very upset.
Rain answered, climbing out of bed and grabbing her bag to pack.
I hope Holly will be all right.
Lark answered worriedly and climbed out of bed.
I'm going to take a shower.
she replied, turning towards the bathroom.
No, we don't have enough time, Rain quickly answered. You can take one on the plane. Dad has his private plane waiting to take us all back, so we've got to get going.
Rain answered urgently and hurriedly packed her bags.
Okay, I'll be packed in a flash,
Lark answered, beginning to pack her own bags. They finished packing in no time and were dressed just as fast. Rain threw her baseball cap on and pulled her long hair through the back, while Lark called down for a bellhop to help with their bags.
Rain, I'll go down and check us out, and then pull the car up front,
Lark informed her somberly, heading for the door.
Okay, I'll get everything on the cart and help the bellhop,
Rain answered, grabbing their bags and carrying them to the door as the bellhop knocked. Lark opened the door, allowing him to enter, and she exited into the hallway, heading towards the elevator. Lark was lost in her thoughts of concern and worry for Holly. She hoped Holly and the baby would be fine. Her emotions went from being totally elated from their own plans of having a child to being very worried about Holly and the baby. Lark stepped off the elevator quickly, advancing upon the front desk to check out, and felt as though she was in a fog from everything happening so fast. Rain hurriedly stacked their belongings into the cart and quickly checked the suite again to make sure they didn't forget anything, and headed out the door, safe in the knowledge she had all of their belongings. Rain, too, was lost in her thoughts and worry for Holly, the baby, and her brother. She knew Shane would be devastated if anything happened to either one of them, as would she. Rain thought about how close she is with Holly, and worried terribly about her health.
Ma'am, this is the lobby,
the bellhop replied, snapping Rain out of her thoughts.
Oh, yeah, take it out to the front door, please,
Rain stammered, looking up and saw Lark opening the trunk of the car. They quickly loaded the car, with Rain taking control of the car, mashing the accelerator, heading out of the hotel parking lot. Her thoughts were still with her brother and sister-in-law as she sped towards the airport. Lark knew how upset Rain was by how quiet she was being. She slipped her hand on to Rain's, squeezing it, and felt Rain's fingers lace with hers. Lark's touch had such a soothing, calming effect on her, as she looked at Lark, giving her an appreciative smile before looking back to the road. Rain steered the car towards the hangar her father's plane was waiting in front of, noting everyone fervently loading the plane. She screeched to a halt and threw her car in park before exiting the car as her mother approached.
Mom, what's going on?
She asked nervously as Lark opened the trunk for the crew to gather their luggage and grab their carry-on bags.
Holly was having terrible labor pains, so they rushed her to the hospital, and they're having complications,
she answered worriedly and began to cry.
Mom, she's 2 months early. Is the baby going to be okay?
Rain asked nervously.
We don't know, sweetheart,
her mother answered, crying harder with Rain drawing her mother into a comforting hug. Lark saw her tall lover comforting her mother, which brought tears to her eyes, seeing the distraught look in her face and the tears that trickled down her cheeks. She wanted to comfort Rain, wishing she could take everyone's pain away. Rain wiped her tears and helped her mother onto the plane, with Lark waiting at the stairs to the plane for them. Rain helped her distraught mother up the stairs, and Lark followed, rubbing Rain's back to comfort her the best she could at the moment. She found it so touching how closely knit Rain's family was, and even though Holly's wasn't a blood relative, they treated her as if she was, just like they did with her. Rain helped her mother to her seat and was engulfed in a hug from her father.
Don't worry, sweetie. She'll be okay,
he whispered assuringly into her ear, noting the tension in his daughter's body, and rubbed her back soothingly, feeling the tense muscles begin to relax.
Let's hope so, Daddy,
Rain answered, less assured, and headed towards her seat, receiving a hug from Jace, who had approached her. They locked blues and held one another without a word being spoken, each knowing exactly what the other felt and wanted to say, but didn't need to as they said it with their eyes. Rain faintly smiled, breaking the hug, and patted his chest before sitting in her seat next to Lark. Rain had a feeling her parents weren't letting on the full gravity of the situation, which worried her more. Rain buckled her seatbelt and leaned forward, resting elbows on her legs, and held her face in her hands. She thought about her beloved grandmother, who passed away recently, and remembered how excited she was when Holly and Shane told her they were expecting another baby. All the pain she felt when her grandma Tay passed away hit her like a tidal wave, and she couldn't control the tears that flowed freely. She felt Lark slip an arm around her back, and her free hand slid into her leg as Lark kissed Rain's shoulder. Rain felt the plane level off with Lark asking,
Do you want to talk about it?
In a whisper, with Rain wiping her face, looking over her shoulder and meeting caring green eyes.
No, I don't. I'm gonna go take a shower.
Rain answered softly, smiling, sniffling back her tears.
Rain, Please, don't shout me out again.
Lark answered pleadingly, lacing her fingers around Rain's long slender ones, and leaned her forward against Rain's cheek. Rain glanced at Lark, loving her comforting closeness.
I won't, Lark. Just give me a bit of time so I can come to terms with what I'm feeling, okay?
She asked softly, with Lark looking into her saddened blue eyes.
Promise me you'll talk to me about all of this?
Lark asked, worried that her lover would once again shut her out.
I promise. I just need to be alone for a few minutes, okay?
Rain asked, with Lark nodding yes in response.
I love you.
Rain whispered lightly, kissing Lark, and headed to the back of the plane to take a shower. Lark sat back in the chair and wiped away her tears, hoping the rain wouldn't push her away again. She worried about her, as she had never seen her this upset before. She wanted to hold her, to comfort her, and to take her pain away, if Rain would allow her to. Rain stepped into the hot shower and let the water beat down on her head, hoping it would soothe her emotions. She couldn't believe how raw her emotions were, and she just wasn't ready to reveal everything she was feeling, even to Lark. She knew Lark had a right to be included, and it wasn't fair to shut her out. Hell, that's what put them in the whole big mess with the other supposed other woman in the first place. Rain wasn't going there again, but she needed a chance to collect and attempt to control her emotions without being a blubbery mess. That would embarrass her even in front of Lark. Rain had an undying need to always be stoic, no matter what, and this was making it very hard for her to maintain that composure. Her thoughts of her deceased grandmother kept creeping in, and all she wanted to do was cry or beat the living hell out of someone or something, as she was so mad about her death. Even to this day, she was livid about it. She wondered why this health crisis with Holly triggered her thoughts and emotions over her grandmother. Maybe it's because she still hadn't come to terms with her grandmother's death, and who knows, she may never will. Or maybe it's because she's not there with Holly and Shane, like she wasn't with her grandmother, when gravely ill. Rain began crying, remembering the phone call she received from her mother when she was on assignment out of country, saying her grandmother had taken a turn for the worse after heart surgery. A simple operation, she remembered her mother saying when Rain told her she would return right away. Her mother and Uncle Bert, who was a cardiologist, convinced her that everything would be fine with her grandmother, so she stayed until the next morning. Wrong decision that I'll regret for the rest of my life, Rain whispered to herself, remembering their words. Rain rushed home to be at her grandmother's side, but knew she was gone. She felt it. She had a dream about it. The realization hit her when she walked in the door and saw her father break down and cry when she asked how her grandmother was doing. She had never in her entire life seen her father cry like that, and it wasn't even his mother, but his mother-in-law, who he cried for, because she was such a wonderful woman, whom everybody loved and adored, especially Rain. Her heart was shattered. Her grandmother was everything to her. They were best friends and were exactly alike. The best compliment she ever received was when her uncle told her mother that it was unbelievable how alike both her and her grandmother were. She meant everything to Rain, and when her mother told her she would not have been able to do anything to prevent her grandmother from passing on, she couldn't accept it. Maybe it was her stubbornness, her ego, or maybe it was the close bond she shared with her grandmother that made her believe that if she was there for her, just simply holding her hand, she would have had more of a reason to fight harder and to live. Rain felt as though her grandmother was angry with her for not being there and gave up. She knew that train of thought was probably pretty stupid, but she couldn't help the way she felt. Rain didn't get to tell her how much he loved her or to say goodbye. Rain had called the night before her surgery, but the medical personnel had already moved her to ICU, where phone calls weren't allowed, so she wasn't able to talk with her. She asked her mother to let her grandmother know that she loved her and to wish her luck with the surgery. She wasn't sure if she told her or not. She felt guilty that she wasn't the one to tell her, because a message relayed through her mother just wasn't the same as what it would have been coming from her. Rain couldn't hold her emotions any longer and broke down crying at the memories, the guilt, the pain, and the sadness she felt at the time, and now she was reliving everything again. Rain put her hands against the wall to brace herself and cried so hard she nearly threw up. She turned the ice-cold water on to snap her out of hysteria, which eventually helped her calm down, as well as her nausea. Rain couldn't and would never be able to forgive herself for not telling her grandmother how much she loved, adored, and cared for her before her surgery. She hoped that it would get easier to deal with after 6 months, but it was just as hard now as it was the day she died. That's the reason she shut herself off from everyone, especially the most important person in the world to her, Lark. She just couldn't deal with the guilt and pain. She knew she would have to now. Raina thought about her grandmother simply adored her nephews and looked forward to the birth of her great-granddaughter, the one she would never get a chance to meet. Hell, she might not get to see her niece, she thought sadly as her tears flowed harder. Graham, please watch over Holly and the baby. Don't let anything happen to them. I love you. Rain replied softly, wiping her tears and hoping the dead could really hear her thoughts. She frequently spoke to her grandmother as a prayer, you might say. She wasn't the praying type, but she would ask for her grandmother's guidance in certain situations. She wiped the remaining tears and felt a little bit better. Maybe a good cry was all I needed, she thought, finishing her shower and drying off. Rain dressed in a pair of khaki old navy shorts and a black short-sleeve V-neck cotton shirt before running a gel through her raven hair, allowing it to stay in the place it fell, draped over her shoulders, her bangs nearly reaching her dark eyebrows. She exited the bathroom just as Lark entered the room.
Are you okay?
She asked, concerned, and looked into Rain's reddened eyes, rubbing her side to comfort her, sidling up too close to Rain. Rain smiled and kissed Lark on the forehead. I'm better, thanks.
I won't be long,
Lark answered with a soothing smile, feeling somewhat left out from the fact that Rain wouldn't discuss her feelings with her. It pained her to see Rain in so much pain, and to not be able to comfort her. Lark entered the still, steamy bathroom and was engulfed by the French scent of juniper breeze lotion that was so specific to her lover. She smiled happily, knowing that she would have that wonderful greeting in her life every time she entered the bathroom or cuddled up close to her lover once again. The simple pleasure in her life that meant her lover was there to stay, once and for all. Rainin saw Jace and her mother huddled next to their father, who was on the phone. What's going on? She asked worriedly, and saw the look of anguish they all possessed on their similar features.
We're on our way, son. We should be there shortly. Hang in there. We love you.
He replied and clicked the phone off and looked at his equally anguished family with cloudy blues.
Oh, the baby has fallen asleep in the birth canal.
He answered softly, inhaling, deeply to collect himself.
Oh my God!
Maria exclaimed, horrified, and began crying harder.
Dad, what does that mean?
Jace asked, confused and anxiously. He looked at his wife, his son, and then his daughter.
They told Shane not to expect either one to make it.
He answered solemnly, with tears trickling down his cheeks.
No!
Jace exclaimed angrily, and stood up with his own tears streaking his face, and stormed towards the cockpit.
Make this plane move faster!
He demanded angrily, and punched the wall in frustration. Rain was speechless. She felt like someone kicked her in the stomach, and she felt like she couldn't breathe. Her knees became weak and flopped into her seat, gasping for air, which she finally inhaled. Rain couldn't believe what was happening, and she felt terrible about it. Rain imagined the pain and fear Holly and Shane must be feeling, which overwhelmed her. She was very close to both of them, and looked at the child as if it were her own. She wanted to be there to comfort her brother and to tell them both she loved them. Holly was the sister she always wanted. Don't get her wrong. She loved her brothers and wouldn't train them in for anything. But she always wanted to have a sister, and Holly was just that to her.
Come on, Holly.
Fine. Fine.
She replied, sending out a silent request to her sister-in-law. Rain leaned back in her seat, her heart and mind racing with fear from the dire situation. She was taking it seriously hard. Everyone was, but Rain especially.
She must be beside himself. I don't know what I would do if that was Lark.
Rain thought to herself as she thought about her and Lark's conversation about having a baby.
No, I don't want Lark to be put in that position.
Rain told herself angrily and fought to keep out the negative thoughts of what she would do if Lark were in Holly's situation. Rain knew she wouldn't be able to deal with that at all, knowing Lark would be in such distress. She looked out the windows at the clouds, her tears flowing freely, and thought,
a baby's not a good idea.
She told herself, knowing that she just got Lark back in her life, and didn't want to lose her again. Especially not during childbirth. Something that could be avoided. Rain leaned her head against the side of the window, resting elbow on the armrest and her chin in her hand, staring out the window, lost in her thoughts. Rain sadly thought about Brandon and Cole. How tragic it would be for them to grow up without their mother. She thought about how it was bad enough that they would miss out knowing what a wonderful woman their great-grandmother was, and for their mother, along with their unborn sister, to meet their grandmother's fate was unbearable to think about. She imagined what would say to their own child if something like that happened to Lark. She didn't want to have to do that to a child, and certainly didn't want Lark to be put in that type of danger. Jace missed Lark as she exited the bathroom and told her what happened. Lark was devastated and knew that Rain would be too. She rushed over to their seats and sat next to Rain, noticing the blank stare she possessed, along with a motionless state. If she didn't see the slow, steady rise and fall of her chest, she would be convinced she was dead. Her heart filled with sadness looking at her distraught lover, and her tears streaked her face. She took Rain's hand in her own, who was oblivious to her presence. She didn't even realize Lark was holding her hand. Lark's heart ached for her saddened lover.
"Baby, Rain, look at me,"
Lark pleaded, softly rubbing Rain's arm, and shook her hand to break her trance with no response from Rain.
"Rain, you're scaring me,"
Lark answered anxiously, and pulled Rain towards her, who finally looked at her when her trance was broken. Rain looked deeply into Lark's warm green eyes and engulfed her in a hug. She held her so tight, Lark could hardly breathe.
"Rain, honey, you're hurting me,"
Lark gasped in missing air when Rain released her and knelt before her on the floor, knowing at eye level with Lark. Rain grasped Lark's hand and held them, locking blues with green.
"Lark, I don't want you to ever be put in the same position as Holly. We need to reconsider having a baby,"
Rain explained with a pensive expression and tear-streaked cheeks. Lark was stunned, shocked, and saddened all at the same time.
"Rain, just because this happened to Holly doesn't mean this will happen with me,"
Lark answered, trying to reassure Rain.
"I don't want to take that chance on losing you like that. No way. I just got you back, and I don't want to take unnecessary chances,"
Rain answered, adamantly shaking her head side to side to emphasize her point.
"Rain, stop it,"
Lark demanded, firmly, and held Rain's face in her hand.
"Baby, I could die in a car accident just as easy. I'm not going to live my life in fear, and you shouldn't either. You'll drive yourself crazy if you do,"
she answered, concerned.
"Lark, I lost too many people who were very close to me, and it petrifies me to think about losing you too,"
Rain answered honestly, her heart catching in her chest at the thought of it.
"Honey, we are not immortal. I'm going to die one day, and that's the fact. I accept that, but I'm not going to go through life trying to avoid certain situations that may do harm to me. That's not a happy life, and I certainly not one I want to live."
Rain looked at Lark and knew what she said was the truth.
"Rain, a baby assures us that our legacy lives on once we have moved on to the another lifetime. That's what I want. A baby,"
Lark answered honestly and sincerely.
"I'm sorry, Lark. I'm just very scared,"
Rain answered, seeing the sincerity in Lark's green eyes, and sat on the floor at Lark's feet. Rain laid her head on her lover's lap and wrapped her arms around Lark's waist, holding tightly before closing her eyes.
"I know, sweetheart. We're all scared,"
Lark answered, running her fingers through Rain's dark hair to soothe her angst. Rain's anxiety began to calm from Lark's soothing strokes and decided she should talk to Lark about her feelings. She stood up, holding Lark's hand, then guided her out of the chair, leading her to the sleeping quarters of the plane. Lark sat on the bed with Rain lying back, resting her head in her hand, with her elbow leaning against the bed in a side-lying position. Lark turned to look at Rain, who slipped her hand on Lark's stomach and guided her down on the bed next to her, leaving her hand resting where it lay. Lark looked concerned into Rain's saddened blue eyes.
"Baby, I've never seen you so upset,"
and rested her own hand on Rain's, resting on her stomach.
I know, it's hit me all at once, especially what's happening with Holly. I promised I would talk to you, and that's what I'm going to try to do, Lark. I'm not one to show my feelings, and you know that I tend to hide them, and I'm sorry for that."
She paused to calm her emotions, which swelled within, and inhaled deeply to settle them.
"Rain, you and I share the most intimate moments two people can share. You don't have to be so mysterious with me, And you don't have to believe I think any less of you if you cry in front of me. I love you, and I want to be there for you, to comfort you when you need me. I love you no matter what.
Lark answered sincerely, rubbing Rain's arms comfortingly.
I know, Lark, and I appreciate that. I'm trying. It's difficult for me to bear my soul, but I promise I will try harder to, with you.
Rain answered honestly, looked Lark squarely in the eye.
At least it's a start.
Lark answered with a small smile and kissed Rain. Rain smiled briefly, which then turned serious.
You know how close I was to Grandma Tay, and how her death devastated me. I refused to believe that she was truly gone, and it's still hard for me to accept that fact. I didn't deal with her death like I should have, and I just pushed everything deep inside instead, choosing to withdraw. That was easier for me to handle. I can't even bring myself to visit a grave because I don't know if I can handle that finality.
Rain explained solemnly, with Lark seeing Rain's blue eyes fill with tears.
I have an overwhelming amount of guilt because I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to Graham, or to tell her how much I loved her before she passed away. I feel like if I had been there, that she would have fought harder to live. This is so hard.
Rain explained sadly. I looked down at the bed, inhaling deeply, her tears flowing harder, and subconsciously traced circles on Lark's stomach from her nervousness. Rain collected herself and looked up at Lark.
I feel like my Graham gave up because I didn't care or love her enough to be there when she needed me. I just know that if I would have been there to hold her hand and to tell her I loved her, she would have fought harder.
Rain answered, crying harder as Lark gathered her into her arms, pulling her to her chest, and comforted her with her own tears flowing harder. Lark held Rain and kissed her head as Rain clung tightly to her.
Babe, Graham knows how much you love her and care for her. She knew that then, and she knows it now. The dead can hear our thoughts, and I know that Graham didn't think that you didn't love her, honey. You were the apple of her eye, and she adored you.
Lark answered lovingly and kissed Rain's head. Rain looked up at Lark.
How do you know that?
Rain asked with a proud half-smile.
She told me every chance she got, darling, and I could see it when she looked at you.
Graham really liked and loved you a lot, Lark. She used to tell me, "You better not break our heart,"
Rain answered, pointing a finger and intimidating her grandmother with a silent laugh.
She was a fantastic woman, Rain. I loved her so much, too.
Lark answered with a loving smile, fondly remembering Rain's grandmother.
I feel bad that Brandon and Cole will miss out on what a wonderful person she was, and so will the new baby, well, if they make it.
Rain stammered sadly, and flopped on her back, feeling completely overwhelmed by everything. She wasn't used to being so open with her feelings, and rubbed her face with her hands, her thoughts going back to Holly and the baby. She exclaimed, frustrated. Lark rolled onto her side and looked down on Rain.
Babe, they're going to be fine. Have some faith, okay?
Lark replied, encouragingly moving Rain's hand away from her face.
I wish I could be as optimistic as you, Lark.
Rain answered with a slight smile, feeling so much relief since she talked to Lark and just before the mere fact of looking into Lark's beautiful green eyes.
I have enough optimism for both of us. Listen, you can let Brandon, Cole, and the baby know what a wonderful grandmother they had just by telling them stories about her. I also want you to let our child know about her, too. I hope you're still not adamant about us not having a child.
Lark answered worriedly, wiping away Rain's remaining tears.
No. I want us to have a child, but I'm going to drive you nuts with worry. I'm letting you know ahead of time.
Rain answered with a chuckle, holding Lark tightly against her.
Thanks for being there for me. I feel a lot better.
Rain whispered in her ear before Lark looked up.
I love you, Rain, and I'm always here for you. Always.
Lark answered smiling and sealing a profession with a soul-searing kiss. Rain was surprised by how much better she felt, and knew it was because Lark was with her, holding her and comforting her and kissing her. She made a mental note to never hold back her feelings from Lark again. It was very liberating, and she wished she had done this a long time ago. But she didn't, and she regrets that now. Lark broke the kiss and lay her head against Rain, who held her tight, loving every minute of their closeness with Lark. Lark was happy Rain finally confided in her, and she felt like Rain had made a major breakthrough by doing it.
It hurt her to see Rain so upset, but she was happy. Rain didn't shut her out and allowed her to comfort her.
Hey!
Jace replied, stepping in the doorway.
We're getting ready to land.
Rain and Lark both looked on him.
Okay, thanks.
Rain answered as they both sat up. Rain clutched Lark's hand tightly to keep her connection with her blonde lover, standing up and heading back to their seats to prepare for landing. The plane landed without incident and was met at the tarmac by limousine to escort them to the hospital. Everyone rushed into the hospital, saw Holly's parents at the end of the hall, trying to contain the overactive young Donovan boys, Brandon and Cole. Brandon looked up and saw Rain walking toward them, hand in hand with Lark. His face lit up at the sight of his aunt.
Annie Rain!
He yelled and squirmed free from his grandmother's clutches, and ran towards Rain, who scooped them up in a hug as she wrapped his small arms around her neck tightly.
Hey, buddy,
Rain replied, softly rubbing his back, and loved the feeling of having him in her arms. He looked at her with saddened blue eyes that mirrored her own.
Mom and the baby are sick. They're going to be okay, aren't they?
He asked with a furrowed brow. Rain looked down at Lark, who put her hand on the small Rain's back for comfort.
I'm sure of it, buddy. You keep thinking good thoughts, okay?
Rain answered, hoping to reassure him, despite her torn feelings that, in reality, that the situation just wasn't good. Rain's parents hugged Holly's parents as Jace comforted Cole. Rain, Brandon, and Lark walked towards the group who discussed Holly's condition. Holly's mom informed them that the doctor explained that her condition had improved and they're working on to deliver the baby, much to everyone's relief. Rain sat down next to Lark to wait for any further word on her condition, with Brandon refusing to relinquish his vice grip hold he had on his tall aunt. She hugged him and rubbed his back until she felt his tense muscles relax. Lark loved to watch Brandon and Rain together. They were just like two peas in a pod. She thought they were absolutely adorable together, as well as her and Cole. Maybe it was because she was biased. Nah, it was a close bond they shared, Lark thought, smiling and watching them interact. Rain absolutely adored her nephews, as they did the same to her. Lark watched them lovingly and thought about how she couldn't wait to see her gorgeous lover holding their own child in their arms. Lark rubbed Brandon's back and looked at him before kissing his forehead.
What happened to your hair, Annie Lark?
Brandon asked quizzically.
I got bubblegum stuck in it and had to cut it all off,
she teasingly laughed, eliciting a giggle out of him, and lifted his head to look up to Rain to see if she did it.
Don't look at me. I didn't put bubblegum up her hair,
she teasingly answered and tickled him, causing the giggle more. He stopped laughing and looked at Cole.
Cole, Annie Lark got bubblegum in her hair and had to cut it off.
Cole ran up to Lark, surprised.
You did?
He asked with a wide-eyed look.
That's the rumor,
Lark teased with a laugh.
I love it,
he answered excitedly, and wrapped his arms around her neck tightly, with Lark engulfing him in a hug.
Honey Rain, I love your necklace,
Brandon exclaimed with excitement, playing with the necklace and staring at it intently.
Thanks. Honey Lark gave it to me.
Rain answered, glancing at Lark, smiling, and flashed a wink at her before looking back to her nephew.
I really like it. I want one. Can you get me one?
He asked hopeful and looked at Lark.
Brandon, that's not nice to beg for something,
Rain replied sternly.
It seems I remember someone begging for something just last night,
Lark whispered mischievously in Rain's ear and received a sideways glance from Rain.
I'm sorry, but it's really cool.
It's okay. I knew you would like it. I got both of you one. But I'll have to give it to you when I get unpacked, Lark answered with a smile, as Cole's head shut up and looked at her excitedly.
Yes!
They both replied exuberantly, with Brandon looking at Rain, his demeanor turning serious.
She's staying this time, right? She won't be going anywhere, will she?
He asked with trepidation, his blue eyes staring into Rain.
Rain and Lark both laughed. I'm not letting her go anywhere.
Rain answered, smiling, and kissed his forehead, lacing her fingers through Lark's, sending a flush of warmth through Lark, who smiled happily.
Annie Lark, can we come and stay with you and Annie Rain at your house?
Brandon asked excitedly. Lark glanced up at Rain to find out how to answer the question, and Rain winked at her.
Sure, I even go fishing too,
Lark answered, smiling, with Brandon, Cole, and Rain all looking at her, speechless and bewildered.
You three behave. I like to fish, I just don't like touching them with bait.
Lark entered, arching an eyebrow at Rain and Brandon, who looked at one another mischievously.
Princess!
They both answered in unison as everyone laughed.
You, mister, need to stop hanging around with your Auntie Rain. You're becoming incorrigible, just like her.
Lark teased, tickling Brandon, who giggled incessantly.
Auntie Lark, we're glad you're going to be living with Auntie Rain again,
Cole replied happily and hugged Lark.
Me too, sweetheart. Me too.
Lark answered, smiling, and squeezed Rain's hands that still held her own. Shane walked through the door with tears in his blue eyes, looking completely wiped out. Everyone stood up with nervous trepidation, as Lark squeezed and held Rain's hand tighter in anticipation of the impending news, which they hoped would be good.
They're both fine, and we have a new addition to our family. A beautiful baby boy.
He answered with happiness and joy as he began to cry. Rain released the breast she unconsciously held and smiled happily.
You've got a baby brother!
She replied excitedly, looking at Brandon when it finally dawned on her.
Hey! I thought you were supposed to have a little girl!
Rain asked, confused, with everyone realizing the same thing as they approached Shane.
Well, a little something was hidden on the sonogram, I suppose.
He answered proudly and was engulfed in hugs from everyone.
Congratulations, Shane. I'm so happy for you.
Rain replied, sincerely hugging her brother tightly, kissing his cheek.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
He answered before kissing her and breaking the heart.
Lark! Hey!
Shane replied, surprised to see her, and hugged her.
I love your hair.
He answered with a chuckle.
Congratulations, Shane. I'm so happy for the both of you.
She answered happily, holding him tightly.
I'm glad you two are back together. You're meant to be that way.
Shane whispered, breaking his hug and kissing her cheek before taking Brandon from Rain.
How's Mommy?
Brandon asked excitedly.
Very tired, but she said to tell you two she loves you.
Shane answered with a loving smile and leaned down to pick up Cole. Rain put an arm around Lark, who slipped around Rain's waist. Rain pulled Lark closer and kissed her head.
You were right, babe. I should have been more optimistic.
Rain conceded with a smirk. Lark smiled and hugged her tighter.
I'm glad I was right.
Lark answered, filled with joy and happiness that Holly and the baby were going to be fine. She thought about how much she loved Rain and her family, as if they were her own. She was happy to be back and a part of that aspect of Rain's life.
Oh, baby, I should call Elaine and let her know I'm back in town so she doesn't look like a fool if the paparazzi sees me here and comes up with some stupid story for the National Enquirer or something. I'll also need to call my parents. They'll want to know about Holly and the baby.
Lark responded, patting Rain on the butt and broke a hold on her. Rain pulled Lark back and kissed her.
Hurry back. I'll miss you.
She whispered lightly, kissing Lark's lip again. Lark smiled and winked, breaking off the kiss and walked away. Rain watched as Lark walked towards the nearest phone to make her phone calls, with Rain thoroughly appreciating everything about her.
Very delicious.
Rain thought mischievously, feeling a nervous tickle in her stomach.
Easy, Romeo. You might want to put your tongue back in your mouth before someone walks all over it.
Jace teased, leaning against his sister, and laughed, both watching Lark talk on the phone. Rain laughed and looked at her brother.
Dude, what do you think about your godson?
She asked with a proud smile.
I was so worried, and now I'm so excited. I can't wait to see him.
He explained with pure joy written all over his face.
Yeah, me too. I bet he's gorgeous.
Rain gushed happily, glancing back at Lark, unable to keep her eyes off her sexy blonde lover.
How could he not be? Look at his bloodline.
Jace answered with a cocky laugh, which was shared by Rain, who looked at her brother. Rain crossed her arms over her chest.
Well, that's true for me, but I don't know about you. I can't get over the fact that you still don't believe me when I tell you Mom and Dad found you in a dumpster and brought you home to live with us.
You think you're so funny, don't you?
Jace asked, laughing, and looked at his sister.
I'm serious, Jace. They found you in a dumpster.
Rain answered with a look of total seriousness, but secretly laughing inside. She loved to rag her brother and remembered how he got so upset when she told him that when he was younger.
I'm not falling for that one like I did when I was a kid. I thought we put that to rest in Greece. Besides, we look too much alike.
Purely coincidental. But suit yourself, and don't believe me, dumpster boy.
She teased, leaning into him and pushing him with a laugh.
I will pay you back for that one,
he guaranteed. Oh, I'm scared. Like you did when we were in Greece, Mr. Pink Belt? Rain teasingly laughed with her brother putting his hand on her shoulder.
Hey, you two. We are going to the nursery.
Their father informed the pair.
Okay, we'll be there in a minute.
Rain answered, looking over her shoulder, watching her family head down the hall out of sight. Rain and Jace looked back at Lark, who hung up the phone, and turned to walk back towards them.
A complete vision of loveliness.
Rain replied, admiringly releasing a breathless sigh, watching her lover stroll sexily towards her down the hallway.
Oh, yes. She is.
Jace agreed with a smile.
She looks uncomfortable that we're staring at her, though.
Jace observed with a chuckle, noticing Lark look down at the ground as she continued to walk towards him.
Yep. I bet I know what she's thinking, too.
Rain answered surely with a smile.
I'll take that bet. And I bet she's plotting her revenge as to getting us back.
Jace answered with a laugh.
Nope. She's saying to herself that she can't believe how much of a pig I am, just like you.
Rain answered with a chuckle and looked at her brother.
A pig, huh? She thinks I'm a pig? I'm so hurt. But I do resemble that remark, so I'll take that bet for $50.
He teased, laughing.
You're on, dumpster boy.
Rain agreed with a chuckle as her brother pinched her firm backside, causing her to laugh harder and move her butt away from the offending gesture, as Lark approached with an embarrassed look on her face.
Well, hello there, sexy.
Rain drawled cockily and flashed a lover a smile.
You two are so damn bad,
Lark replied, pointing between the two of them.
Who? Us? What do you ever mean, Lark?
Jace asked teasingly.
Yes, you two are a couple of pigs, and I don't want to know what you were both saying to each other either,
she firmly stated, flashing a stern look. Rain laughed and looked at her brother.
That's $50 you owe me,
she teased, pointing at him before slipping her arm around Lark's waist.
Damn!
Jace answered disappointedly, with Rain's laughter becoming more intensified.
You're both being pigs, right?
Lark asked with disgust and tried to move away from Rain, who pulled her closer.
No. We were making a bet as to what you were thinking, and I guessed correctly. So Dumpster Boy here lost more money to me. I can retire happily from all the money he owes me.
Rain explained, laughing.
Rain, didn't you listen to your mother in Greece when she told you to stop calling him that? You're terrible.
Lark admonished her with a grin on her face.
That's who he is, Lark. Come on, let's go see our new nephew.
She answered with a chuckle, slipping her hand into Lark's, all heading down the hallway towards the nursery. Jace slipped his arm over Lark's shoulder and looked down at her.
Do you really think I'm a pig?
He asked with a quizzical smirk.
Yeah, but a very cute one.
Lark answered with a laugh, pinching his cheek.
Are you sure I can't convince you to switch teams and be with me?
He asked teasingly.
Fair chance, handsome. I've got the woman of my dreams right here in my arms, and I'm not letting her out of them.
Lark answered, smiling lovely, and stopped, pulling Rain closer to her. Rain smiled and leaned down, allowing Lark to capture her waiting lips for a soul-searing kiss. Jace just stared at the pair, stunned briefly. His trance broken when Rain pushed his head away from her, and Lark never breaking her kiss. He chuckled and walked ahead of them, leaving them alone. Rain broke the kiss breathless and looked dreamily into Lark's eyes.
I'm never allowing you out of mine either, babe.
She answered sexily and kissed Lark passionately again. Lark ran her hands through Rain's raven hair, resting them on Rain's face, and broke the kiss breathless. She smiled lovingly, locking loving greens with blues, admiring Rain's sphinx-like grace, her heart aflutter, and asked,
I love you, baby. Are you ready to begin the next step of our life together?
Smiling happily, she lightly traced the contour of Rain's lips with her finger, waiting for an answer.
Absolutely.
Rain answered in a sincere, sultry tone, flashing a sexy smile before pressing her lips to Lark's.
I can't wait to start our new life together. I love you.
Rain whispered through her kiss and deepened it, holding on to the love of her life tightly. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode 131 of XNU, and that is chapter 8 of Ab Initio by Cruz. Hope everyone is enjoying the storyline as we continue on with it. Once again, we want to thank Cruz for letting us use this story on our show. And if you have any suggestions for future stories, please send me an email with the title and the author's email address, if possible, so I can check it out and send the author for permission for future stories on the show. If you have any recipes or any song snippets, announcements, dedications, or shout-out, please send me an email at zena.uber@gmail.com. Please don't forget to kindly put a donation in for the Lance Armstrong Foundation cancer raising research run that I'm going to be doing. We're counting down the days and it'll be around the corner soon enough and you won't have to hear me ask again. Unless, of course, it's for me and my new leg surgery. So, until the next episode, everyone take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye. With no consequence.
me. If I could have just a taste of you, would I be addicted?